Thanks, Grant. Nice to meet you, Grant. Matt, thanks for your talk this morning. I so loved it when Nico came over and reached up to Matt. And Matt, I'm never going to forget that illustration you gave at the very end. That was just so touching. Okay, for you mechanically minded people, rest of us will just follow along. I'm not mechanically minded. What does a Jaguar, a fighter jet, an Airbus A380, and the family car all have in common? Well, they all have an engine. They all use. They got to have a driver. Anybody else want to have a go? They're fast. Wheels. All right. Well, what I come up with is that they all run the most efficiently when they're operated according to the owner's manual. Now, mechanics and aircraft engineers, and we've got an aircraft engineer with us today, but, you know, mechanics and aircraft engineers spend years and years and years and years learning about everything the manufacturer says about their product, and they try to do things just exactly like what the manufacturer is saying to where it will run more efficiently. Now, I know some people, they're a little bit radical. They get in there, start trying to tweak things and make it run a little bit faster than what it's supposed to. And you may get a little bit faster, but chances are you stand a lot larger chance of blowing the thing up, too. Anybody ever blown one up by trying to make it run too fast? No, I wouldn't say it either if you had. But they're all designed to run according to the manufacturer's design. I think James, in his book, is trying to stress that point too. You see, James was the Lord's half-brother. He was one of the early leaders in the church, and he knew from experience, what did and did not work in the Christian life. He knew. In his book, he encourages us to read the manual and apply what you read. Now, before we get into this, let me just say this. How many of us have been known for going to the Scripture, seeing something that we can apply and not applying it? Anybody here ever done that? How many of us do that regularly? And you know what? I think what's happening, James knows that. He knows what we have our tendency to do. And he's going to put a roadblock in front of us. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. He says, first of all, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Well, that's enough right there. We can spend the rest of our time. Even Christians, we often allow filth and evil into our lives. Anybody here good with computers? Anybody have anything to do with computers? When you have bad information, go to the computer, what happens to it? It gets corrupted. I love that word. And it's the same with the human life, particularly with the Christian life. When bad information comes in, it gets corrupted. So James says, get rid of that stuff. Get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And we know that. We know the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that is the message found in the Word of God that changes lives and nothing else. We know the gospel is found in the Word of God. And that is what changes lives. Everybody agree? All right. Now comes his little warning shot to reading the Word of God and applying it. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Now, all of us, you know, we come here on Sunday, glad to have you on Sunday morning, glad that you're listening to podcasts and messages and things like that. But most of the time we do that where we can hear something from the Word of God. And often the Lord touches us by what we hear. And what do? We walk away and don't even let it affect us. And that's what James says. He says, if you do that, you are fooling yourself. He says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. When we get up in the morning and look into the mirror, before we get ourselves all pretty up, what do we look like? Somebody said terrifying. Well, that's exactly what I don't have my glasses on, so I don't see it anyway. Julie has this magnifying mirror that magnifies four times. And she says, use the mirror. I really don't want to. I know what's there. I'm not impressed anyway. But when you look into a mirror and you see things that need to be fixed up, you fix them up because you don't want to walk out like that, you know? So you fix them up exactly like the Word of God. We look into the Word of God. We see something needs to be fixed up. We need to fix it. Do you agree? Why do we walk away and not do it? You see the point he's trying to get across here? So the truth is, we know what God wants for us. How many people's been saved more than 5 years here? Saved more than 10 years? A lot of people's been saved for a very, very long time. And we know what God wants. Why don't we apply it? And there's something that will be to our benefit if we do what God shows us and we apply it. Look at verse number 25. But if, what does the word if mean? Some of you teachers. If means, well, you gotta do it. And if you don't, you don't get the benefit. But if you do, you get the benefit. He says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Aren't you glad? In other words, we know. How many wants the blessings of God in your life? If you want the blessings of God in your life, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we could keep on going with that. It's getting better and better and better. But we know what we're supposed to do. Look. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So just apply what we know. If we'll do that, God will bless us. And listen to this. God's blessings will literally revolutionize your life. I pause just a minute when I say that. God's blessings will literally revolutionize your life. God's blessings will bring out the you that God intends for you to be. And we can have God's blessings if we'll just apply what He says. One man put it this way. If you do God's will, God's way, you'll have God's supply. I'll say that again. If you do God's will, God's way, you'll have God's supply. So if we do God's will, God's way, we have His support. If we don't do His will, His way, we don't have His support. So God knows what He's doing. When He tells us to do something, let's do it that way. All right? Everybody with me? All right. But before we move on from this thought, I want to look at one more thing that James says about how we use our resources. Remember last week we talked about using our resources. We looked at some rich men and how they used God's blessings and how some did not. James had one other thing that he says about how we're supposed to do things with our resources, and I want to look at that today. Here again, here is something that God tells us to do. All right, James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. What use is it, my brother, if a man says that he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what is the use of that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, folks, I know the first thing that jumps into your mind, James is wrong there. Because we know that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. Lest any man should boast. So we know that our salvation is by grace through faith. Say that with me. Our salvation is by grace through faith. So we're all together on that, right? It's our belief in Jesus Christ, in His grace, that we are saved. We are born again. But I think what James is trying to do here is stress the point that if you are a person of faith, your actions and your works will go hand in hand with what God wants. Christians will respond in a positive way when you see a need. So, folks, when we see somebody in need, will we do something about it? Matter of fact, James even goes so far to say, even question people's faith if there are no works that's following. Anybody ever hold the old illustration? If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, what's it supposed to be? There's a good chance it's a duck. So if a Christian looks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, speaks like a Christian, then there's a good chance they're a... But if they don't look like a Christian, act like a Christian, speak like a Christian, then there's a little bit of a question mark there. Would everybody agree with me? So I think that's the point that James is really, really trying to drive home here. Christian character is known to respond when a need is observed. Matter of fact, Christianity has been known for that down through the ages. People who will see a need and respond. How do we know that? Well, I'm just going to give you kind of a straightforward illustration. Well, actually, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to let Jesus give it to you. Let's go to the end of all things. And Jesus is sitting on the throne. And the people are all brought before Him. And He separates the group, one to the left, one to the right. And I'm going to read to you what He says to those on His right hand. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and then come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Which group do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of that group who cared for others, who saw a need and met it, who visited people in the hospital, who visited people in prison, who saw somebody hungry and met that need. I want to be a part of that group. So obviously these things Jesus pointed out, and obviously these should be characteristics of Christians. Would everybody agree? Now here's the big challenge. Do we do that? If you give to the church corporately, there's two kinds of giving, corporate giving and personal giving. A lot of you do a wonderful job giving to the church corporately. And throughout the year, we give in the offerings. And as you well know, there's many times that needs arise that have to be met very quickly. And praise the Lord, because we have some available funds within the church, we're able to meet those needs. The leadership of the church meets those needs very, very quickly. And some of them were met immediately, some of them are ongoing. And whenever we do give, we also look for the opportunity to invest in somebody where we not only give physically, but also spiritually. If you follow the life of Jesus Christ, he met thousands. And matter of fact, John said, if it was recorded everything that Jesus did, even the sky could not contain the amount of things that Jesus did. But every time he did something, he was looking to earn the right to share his message. So giving physically is a means to an end, to earn the right to share spiritually. So whenever you give through the church, that's something we try to do, is give not only to meet physical needs, but also to win the opportunity to share spiritually. And let's never forget that reconciliation of a lost world to God was given to you and me. Let me say it again. Reconciliation between a lost world and God has been given to us. We are his ambassadors. That's all in the scripture. Look it up. Run your references. You'll find it. We meet physical needs to win a right to meet spiritual needs. Now, let's make it personal on personal giving. How many of us would really enjoy the opportunity to meet a need immediately? Anybody? Well, several years back, I read what a preacher said that really, really makes that possible. He said, you need to get a 5, a 10, or a $20 bill, or a 50, or if God leads you, 100. Grant had several of those hundreds. He was there, all right? But, you know, have a bill rolled up and put in your wallet or in your purse. Now, maybe you can't do that, but I think most people can do that. And then as you're walking through your day and the Holy Spirit prompts you to help somebody or to bless them, well, you've already prepared yourself, do it. You ever thought about that? Well, some people would say, well, God's never prompted me to do that. Well, have you ever asked God to prompt you to meet a need? Because I'll guarantee you, if you ask God to prompt you when there is a need, he's going to do it. Some people say, I'm not going to ask because I'm afraid he might. You're right. If you ask, he will. But whenever, you know, have yourself ready to meet a need. And again, I told the story, and I hope you don't mind me going there again, because it's the greatest example I've ever seen, was Julie's father. You know, wasn't a wealthy man, but he would give money away just when he saw a need. And you can bet you he tried to meet a spiritual need there too. So folks, we have the opportunity to meet not only physical needs, but through that we might win the right to share in meeting a spiritual need. But first, let me just say this. If you're going to give some money away, do that with discretion. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit prompting you, because we don't want our good to be evil spoken of. All right? So you might ask your husband or somebody, you know, regardless of the situation, you know what I'm talking about. And then if you offer that to somebody and they look at you kind of funny and say, well, what's that for? Let them know, listen, I'm a Christian, and I just wanted to be a blessing to you today. Is that all right with you? Notice I said, is that all right with you? I don't think too many people give the money back. Because I don't think God's going to prompt you to meet a need if there's not a need there. So that is a way for us to meet physical needs and share a positive Christian attitude. In other words, that allows our actions, our faith, to flow through into our actions in a very immediate way. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand how many would consider doing that, but I would encourage you to pray about that. And if God leads you to roll up a bill, I was about to say from $5 to $500, but that's a little extravagant. Roll up a bill and put it in your wallet or your purse and ask God to prompt you. Maybe just buy somebody a cup of coffee. You know? We can be a real blessing to somebody. But again, do that with wisdom. And then make sure you say something for the Lord. Well, somebody might say, well, I really can't afford to do that. Maybe you're in a very unique position right now where you can't do that. Okay? Most of us probably can. But let me just prompt you. It really doesn't matter if it's a small gift or a large gift. Let me read to you a story that Jesus told that really does illustrate this point. I'm going to go over to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Everybody's heard this story. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Now, folks, this just smacked me. You know, probably some rich people walking up in all their finery and just making sure everybody saw the money that they had and what they were putting it in. You know what I'm talking about. And as they walk away, they're going, you know. Jesus was watching that. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. Just two. Pretty insignificant coins. And Jesus stopped. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. All the 50s and the hundreds and the thousands or whatever. Everybody was given. And whatever it was, this little lady put in two coins, and Jesus said, she has put in the most. And I'm sure the disciples were sitting back and going, what's the matter? Can he count? Well, Jesus explains. For they have given a tiny, speaking of the rich, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, the lady, poor she is, has given everything she has. God doesn't look at the amount. He looks at the intent. He looks at the heart. If a person gives to be recognized and they flaunt it all of everything? Well, you've received your rewards as everybody applauds you. But if you give whatever it is, God looks at the heart, and if you've given with a good heart, Jesus will say, I saw that. I saw that. And you know what? This little woman who gave just two small coins arrested the attention of Jesus, the Son of God. In her story, we don't even know her name. Her story was recorded in the scriptures where millions and probably billions of people have read that little 3 or 4 verse story, and they have been challenged by what she did. And all she did, she gave very little with the right heart. I want to be a part of that. Now, if you've been going to this church quite a bit, you'll know that I talk about giving very, very, very little. Most of the time, it's bragging on everybody for giving, but if it's in the text, I need to deal with it, and that's the reason I'm dealing with this now. But folks, I want to be a part of that group that sees a need and meets it. Or somebody's sick, and I'll go visit. I have an advantage. I have a wife that sometimes is so aware of everything that's going on. She says, Tony, you need to call that person. I said, huh? No, call that person. I'm not even saying, hang on, I'm busy. I need to call. Because if the Lord's prompted her, I need to do that. Hey, I got to straighten up my act and make the calls a lot faster. But when God prompts you to do something, do it. Everybody with me? Again, we'll give corporately. And praise the Lord, we're able, one of the benefits of living in a rented building is we can give a lot of money away. Praise the Lord, we've been able to do that in the last couple of years. But if you give through the church corporately, we'll make sure it goes out to people who are in need to win the right to share a Christian testimony. But every one of us can be involved by giving personally when God prompts us. Everybody agree? Smile at me. Lord willing, we're going to come off this subject. Yay! But I just wanted to finish up what James said about the use of our resources. So folks, let's be aware, okay? And when God knocks on the door of your heart, stop, look, listen, respond. Because you may have an opportunity to affect somebody not only presently, but for eternity. That's something I want to do. If you want to read ahead, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about the tongue. James has a lot to say about the tongue. Anybody struggle with their tongue? Sometimes it runs a little too much. Nobody here does that, right? Read ahead and see what James has to say about the tongue. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the blessings of the tongue. What can be done when the right words are said. Please stand. Father, thank you so much for this challenge, and it's one that I needed to hear. Father, I'm just going to openly say, change my heart, Lord. Open my eyes to needs. And when people are sick, help us follow up. People are in prison. We've got folks here that's going to the prison all the time. People are in need. Help us to meet those needs, corporately and privately. Help us always to do it with the right attitude and with the right motivation, and that's to win the right to share a gospel with us. Because, Father, I really do want your blessings in my life and in the life of this church. Father James says, if we do what we hear and we apply it, we'll gain freedom and we'll gain your blessing. And that's what I want. And I believe everybody wants. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Have a great week.